Welcome to the Antimatter Radio Show, live from West Lafayette, Indiana. It's June 16, I think, 2009, a Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. And I want to thank everybody for tuning into this radio show tonight. Try to make it worth your time, to say the least. I had a revelation this week that I wanted to tell everybody about. Nothing extraordinary, some massive new discovery or something. I just sort of realized what a waste of time. I would say most of my teaching and this radio show and all the messages that I've tried to get to people at this point in my life, I've just realized what a waste of time all that is and how it's done nothing and how it will do nothing, and it seems to be completely futile. The people of America are completely enslaved and brainwashed. Whenever we think of slavery in America, we only think of, black people and the 1860s on cotton plantations. Of course, that's just one tiny sliver of all the slavery that's existed across the world since humans have been on this planet. And we live in what's called the Brave New World slave system in America. You can read Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World, if you want more information. But it's there are many ways to enslave people. One, can be with the gun. Another can be with persuading people to waste their lives and destroy their minds with a bunch of mush. Get everybody to become addicted to television and shopping, and you can enslave them real quick. You just control them with the addiction. All Americans are addicts, addicted to things like junk food, malls, televisions, their jobs that they hate, all kinds of ridiculous hobbies that don't give them any happiness and don't build them up as human beings, and their lives are a complete waste. This is part of my realization I've had this week. If you don't agree with this, fine, then I'm not here to try to change your mind. I want you to think what you want to think, okay? Americans are, let's talk about my teaching, for example. I was a college teacher for 8 years until I was fired by Purdue University in February, and that was one of the better things I can see now that's ever happened to me. I needed to get out of that profession. I don't know if I'll ever go back. I have a theory that in the future, after America experiences its total economic collapse, which should start between, say, next month and the following 12 months. It's already well on its way, of course. If you watch TV, they'll tell you everything's wonderful. General Motors just shut down, and all the economic numbers are a disaster, and we've got hardly any manufacturing left in America and stuff. But they'll tell you on TV everything's great. Just make sure to eat more hot dogs and not worry about anything. But in my teaching, I think that it was all a complete waste of time. All I did was worried from the day I started. I remember I started teaching Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo, Michigan. I was a TA as a master's degree student. That was my first teaching job, a teaching assistant. And I was to teach some of the classes for Professor Sylvia Culp, who is now deceased. I remember she had these unbelievably ridiculous books, childish, pathetic, uninformative, horrible books that she wanted the students to learn. This is for philosophy, because I was a philosophy instructor in six universities I taught at. And these had nothing to do with philosophy. They were just a bunch of bogus history and some propagandistic ideas, trying to give people a big picture, but really it was just a bunch of nothing. And I remember way back from then, I would just not even, I would tell her, she would tell me to teach these on, you know, chapters 1 through 3, for example, and I would just not do it. I would just go and teach the students about philosophy. I would teach them about Plato and Nietzsche and the ancient Greek philosophers, Immanuel Kant. I would teach them about quantum physics and chemistry and world economic systems and everything. I would just teach everything I possibly could in the short amount of time I had them. And most of the students, anyway, that was my first teaching job, and I remember it was just, I would even tell the students, don't tell that I'm not teaching out of the book. I'm supposed to teach out of this pathetic, childish book that won't teach any of you anything. And none of the students said anything. And basically, all through my teaching career, I just battled against administrators and the complete and total mediocrity of the university system. A lot of the other professors, well, really all the other professors I knew, were in the same boat to some degree as far as being pressured into becoming mediocre. The administration would pressure them to make things comfortable for the students, to not, you know, it's all about getting big numbers for the classes. So, you know, you can't teach too hard if you want big numbers for the classes, because the students will drop and go choose a professor that's easy, or an easy A. Yeah, I could go on about that. But what I wanted to say is that I think all of my teaching was a complete waste. I think any students that I impacted probably forgot all of the information by now, because I'm competing with television. They've got TV to inundate their shallow little feeble, tenuous consciousnesses, which they are not developing. They're just ruining. But that's what's inundating their minds every day is television. And I've got that to compete with. Do you think any of those students remembered any of what I taught them? I don't think so. I could teach the most incredible, unbelievable, amazing information that would just make my own jaw drop. And it would be empirical information. I could show them clear-cut evidence that they could see with their eyes. You know, I could show them something, a picture on the computer, off the internet or something, about the most amazing, unbelievable things ever. And the students would sit there and sleep through it. And they would, none of them would remember any of it. They would think it was all just completely a waste of time. If anything at all political came up, the students would attack and they would complain to the university administration. And they would attack me. They would giggle and laugh or pretend that they were sleeping. If I would just, even if it was the most clear-cut empirical information there is, then the administration would attack me and so forth. It was just all... this is part of my realization I wanted to tell you about. I just realized that it was all just a joke, me trying to teach, thinking I was actually impacting students, thinking that, you know, that I could shut off their television-created minds for a little while to enlighten them, to get them to turn off their TV, to become excited about something. I think that it was all, that none of that happened. I think that they're brainwashed, and I think that they've been eating, their whole life they've been eating food that is not good for them, and it's affected their development. I mean, our ancestors lived off of fruits and green vegetables and healthy lean meats from buffaloes and so forth. We don't eat any of that. We eat total trash that doesn't give our body the building blocks that it needs. For example, your brain consists of a huge percentage of it. All parts of your brain need omega oils, omega-3 specifically. And you need to have more omega-3 than you intake omega-6 and 9 of that essential oil. And our diet is completely and totally deficient in every way in omega-3. And in fact, it's saturated with omega-6 because soy has omega-6 in it. And if you can go look this up for yourself, if you intake too much omega-6, significantly more than omega-3, you will cause brain damage. You don't believe me? Go look it up. Turn off the TV and go look up what I'm saying, and find out if I'm lying to you, telling the truth. Go look up the medical schools, the nutrition journals that say this. So part of this realization that I had is just realizing that none of my students were with me. All of them were somewhere else. They were thinking about television shows. What they wanted was me to come into the classroom and basically tell them nothing new, nothing that would challenge them. What would challenge them? A new idea, something that would alter their way of seeing the world. They didn't want that. So if I would give that to them, they would fight against me in every possible way. They would try to challenge the empirical information I would present them in class with junk. I remember I was trying to teach the pulsar theory for extraterrestrial existence in my introduction to philosophy class at Purdue University Calumet last fall, one of my last semesters teaching. And this is a, you can go read Dr. Paul Laviolette's book, Decoding the Messages of Pulsars. Incredible book. Just read the first 15 pages and he proves extraterrestrial life exists all over our galaxy, pretty much beyond a shadow of a doubt, because the way the pulsars are flashing beacons of light out in space, the way they pulse is non-random. It's in a way that is the patterns in the pulses show intelligence. They don't pulse in a purely random way, as you read in his book. Most of the astronomers in America aren't aware of this because they don't study pulsars in that much detail. A lot of the experts that study pulsars do know this, but I mean, nobody in the press will cover their information, and nobody's talking about it. I mean, there's too much to do with covering the press about the Iranian election. Of course, speaking of that, 2 seconds here, we had a bogus election, of course. Actually, every election we have is bogus in America. The one in 2000, though, happened to make the news between Gore and Bush. Now, I don't see anybody in the news bringing that up, you know, so we're supposed to worry about Iran's election. But anyways, so back to talking about the pulsars. I brought that theory up to my students in this introduction to philosophy class at Purdue Calumet last fall, and I brought them in journal articles from, you know, journals like Astrophysics and so forth, the top academic journals for astronomy, showing, you know, backing up what Laviolette discusses in his book and showing pretty much clear as day that there's something truly miraculous going on with these pulsars, that everybody needs to just drop everything and study this immediately to find out what's going on. Okay, of course, don't count on the news media to report on it tomorrow, though. Won't be on the front page of the New York Times, that's for sure. But anyways, my students, I brought this up actually in two classes, and they just actually lashed out at me. They laughed and giggled, and, oh, this is crazy. He's talking about aliens. I can't believe it. You know, what are these kids, what do they know? So when have they ever been shown the evidence for or against the existence of extraterrestrial life? The answer, never. So the interesting thing is, they had a conclusion already decided in their mind. Why? Because somebody showed them the evidence for or against? No. Because somebody merely told them that if you believe in aliens, you're silly. So, and what would they do? They would, without any thought, merely just react and laugh and giggle like little scared five-year-olds because somebody was saying something different, because somebody wasn't going along with just what this herd, sheep flock of a population we have here in America. Anybody who sticks, it's like, we are much like a bunch of five-year-olds. Go look at five-year-olds, maybe not in every school, but in the average public school situation. And, you know, one kid looks a little different, and everybody picks on him. One kid has glasses a little different, everybody picks on him. Now, how are adults any different than that? Because I can go here I live in West Lafayette, Indiana. Basically, everybody I know that's my age is either works for Purdue or is a professor or something. And I've done that. I've gone to these little soirees, these little parties they have, because, you know, some of our friends here in town, of course, are associated in the university. And I will say something, not even really that outlandishly off the accepted views of this culture, and I will get ridiculed, and people would remember it and talk behind my back and say, "Can you believe he said this?" And I would hear people talk that people were talking about me behind my back, and they would bring it up months later, like, "Oh yeah, Jeff said this, blah blah blah." And these are people with PhDs, and I'll give you one example. I said something about vaccines once. I said, if the pharmaceutical companies are going to put mercury in the shots and inject them into children, or put aluminum or formaldehyde in the shots and inject them into children and not tell the parents and purposely deceive the media, not telling them, these companies are not trustworthy with any of their products. They cannot be trusted from this point forward. End of story. That's all I said at this little party at this lady's house named Birgit. This was about 2 years ago. It's one of my wife's friends. And the ridicule and the wrath, it was just unbelievable among these educated elites. Of course, they're not elites. They're a bunch of slaves. The real elites are, well, you know where they are. We talked about them last week. But anyways, so the point here is we are a culture that is totally sick. And, I've been thinking about the Founding Fathers so much and the Revolutionary War days, and how I'm told from what some things I'm reading. I mean, I read Thomas Jefferson, and I really can't believe someone so beautiful and intelligent as him existed. I just want to meet people like that now. Where are they? I mean, I know that Alex Jones and some people in his listening audience are of that caliber, and maybe some of the other, maybe the Rents radio show has some of that caliber. But I can't meet anybody like that around me. I don't know anybody like that. Everybody I know is. I don't even know if there's any humanness in them. I can't see it in there. I mean, I've had some students that are, that I've apparently, well, they told me that they were impacted and they were influenced by what I said, and they were trying to break out of this slave mold that they've been put in. But I mean, did they ever? I don't know. Will they ever? I don't know. It's difficult to tell. I mean, they've got everything against them in trying to do that. I wish them good luck, but I'm not optimistic. So anyway, I think about the revolutionary days, and you know that apparently the American military, it was the citizens, is what there was no military. The citizens, the men from ages of, I think it was 18 to 50 or 52 or something, were all gun owners. They formed what's called a militia, and they, of course, were, you know, governors and minutemen and stuff, of people of higher rank in there. But basically, population was the military. That's, of course, an invincible force, by the way. That's actually what America forms today, because we've got so many gun owners. But Americans don't know that. They're too busy watching 24 and watching Jack Bauer torture people, and they think that's law and order. That's called Nazism is what that is. But anyways, thinking about the revolutionary days, I wonder what was in those people, how they could have been so different than we are now. Because things are not so different as far as the tyranny that America is undergoing now to then. I was just listening to one of my favorite Alex Jones episodes ever that he ever broadcasted. Was done, I think it was December 8, 2008, where he had, what was the guy's name, Sam Damewood of the Appleseed group, talking about Revolutionary War history, and I can't quite believe that, he in there, on that interview, he was talking about how what really got the Revolutionary War going was, of course, taxes and issues like that, but the real spark was the British were coming and trying to confiscate the firearm supplies, the powder and so forth, of the colonists, and that did it. I mean, we've got that going on now, so what are we doing in America? We're just, we've got tyranny coming at us from every possible direction. We've got government listening to your phone calls, looking, spying on your banking, getting into every bit of your business. We've got police with these taser devices, which that's, of course, cruel and unusual punishment. It's a torture device. I could go on and on. I'm not going to waste the time of this radio show to list all the reasons. I think we've got a worse situation now than the revolutionary days, and I see no revolt, revolt in the Jeffersonian sense. We've got nothing. We've got a nation of sheep, as Judge Napolitano puts it in the title of his book. It's the New World Order, this group of financial masters that controls the world, who are part of the IMF and the World Bank and so forth. They're having this is easy for them. There's no sweat. I mean, half the world is already enslaved, as we talked about last week, with most of the world looking like a concentration camp already. So those people, forget it. They're unarmed, helpless, and the world government can do anything they want with them. So they've got just pockets of power. Really, you know what America is? We are the only last bastion of power the world has. you could have the world government, the New World Order, the secret financial government that controls everything. They could overtake the people of England and Europe. And how quick? That quick. As quick as it takes me to snap my fingers, because those people are basically unarmed, totally helpless, and all they need to do is send that huge UN army of Africans up there to overtake the people, as that UN army so often does. Just go read the first chapter of the book, Beast on the East River, which discusses what the UN is really all about. It would be nothing. And then there's, of course, you know, Japan is unarmed and Asia. I mean, there's all the weapons, except for America, all the weapons of the world citizens are in the hands of these governments, and the people are powerless. The only exception to that is America. So America is, well, really, America is the most powerful military force in the world, the citizens of America. They just don't know it. It's an invincible force. And it's the only force like that. And you could have 3 million people invade the Atlantic coast tomorrow, and they may cause some pretty serious havoc at first, but their days would be numbered, because Americans would turn off the TV, get together and figure it out. They've got so many guns, so many weapons, that they would absolutely decimate that army. You could have a 10 million person army do that on the shores of the Atlantic. And, of course, there is no such army in the world, so it's not going to happen. But the point is that the point is that I had an awakening this week, and I'm telling you that the people of this nation are, I don't even think they're people. I think that, when I read about the Revolutionary War days, and when I read the ancient religions about what people were like, I mean, take any of our religions, Christianity, Hinduism, whatever, and people used to have visions of angels and God or the gods routinely. Now that's of the past. It's thought to be, you know, I think most people think that that stuff just never happened. I think that it's too difficult for them to understand that people can be so great, so profound, and so wondrous. Because all people in this pathetic nation know is how to watch TV and go to some stupid job and ignore their families and throw their kids in the corner while they're doing, you know, watching some dumb TV show. So that's all we know. So we have a hard time understanding anything that's not familiar to us. And so we can't understand that there were people like Thomas Jefferson who were so great. So when you just read, you can't even believe a person so incredible existed, or Henry David Thoreau is another example. And then, you know, half these religious heroes, and a lot of, like, St. Paul in Christianity is a good example. I mean, he was walking on the road to Damascus, fell down on the ground because he had a vision of the light of God. Where are the people like that these days? Okay, I mean, what have we lost? I mean, this is, according to Christianity, the role model. This is the person we're supposed to emulate, along with, of course, Christ more so, but Paul as well. I'm not a Christian, so I don't want to say, you know, he's my role model, but I mean, in Christianity, this is your guy, okay? And I don't know any Christians anywhere emulating this guy. Or I bet you most Christians read that verse and think one or two things. They think, oh, that's just special because it's him and that stuff happened long ago because he was just chosen. Or I bet a lot of them think it's just kind of weird, you know? Oh, what was his problem? You know, but the truth is, if you read a book called Lost Star, I talked about it, I think, on the second show, show number 2 of the Antimatter Radio show. You can also read Valerie Hunt's book, Infinite Mind, which discusses the same topic. You can change people's consciousnesses with electricity and magnetism. For example, as Valerie Hunt, she was at UCLA, she did this research. She put people in a Faraday room, which is a certain kind of room which can contained electric and magnetic fields in it. You can increase the magnetism in certain ways, and people become more intelligent. You can give them tests, and they score way higher. They have religious experiences, and they feel good. And then they're different people. And then you reduce the magnetism down lower than what it is on Earth now, and the same people become, they just sit around and cry. They can't do anything. They can't even get up. They take the test, and they're almost retarded. And they're devoid of really religiosity, religious experience. And then we find out that our planet is this book, Lost Star, by Walter Crutton. I'm reading it now. It's one of the best books I've ever read. All of you should read it. It should be required reading by every college student in America. Of course, that's not going to happen. But he discusses how, of course, our Earth is not in a stagnant electromagnetic environment. We have varying electromagnetics, you know, with how far the Earth wobbles up and down through the galactic plane of our galaxy, and other influences. The Earth itself, in relation to the Sun, changes its magnetics. And there are patterns to this, so there could be times of high intelligence and low intelligence on Earth, and I would say we are in a time of low intelligence right now. And all the religions, as Cruttenden points out in this book, talk about the high ages or the golden ages of the past, all basically around the same time. They all basically record the same sort of events. And humans appear to be a whole lot more intelligent then than they are now. And now they're just a disgrace. Let's just say how it is. Okay, let's forget being nice and you know, try not to hurt people's feelings. I mean, people on this planet are a complete and total disgrace. We're not acting like humans. We've got these huge brains, and we're not making it look like we have huge brains. We're just animals, pretty much, in America or elsewhere. Most of the world, as we talked about last week, is a third world concentration camp. But here in America, we're called, like I said earlier, we're a brave new world, a certain kind of slave system, where you just throw enough addictions at people, and they're enslaved. They can't do anything but think about those. So anyway, back to the point here. In my teaching career, I just want to announce to everybody here on this radio show, I think it was a total waste and did nothing. And I think basically the students just fought against me because they have a certain view of the world that they've been taught that I challenged. And I would have the most rock-solid, incredible empirical information to show them for this, for any of my views, any of my positions, and it was as if they would plug their ears. The power of denial is unbelievable. Just look at let's talk about that for a second. The power of denial, I don't understand it. What I'm talking about here is you can show someone something with their eyes, and they will see it clear as day. But if it's not in agreement with what everybody else thinks, with whatever their preconceived notions about the world are, they will deny that it's true. Okay, so if you tell someone that America is a democracy and a free nation of happiness and joy all on TV and in the schools and in the churches all through the life, and then if I get up here and say, oh no, America is filled with a bunch of lying politicians and criminal corporatists, and for example, our elections are always stolen, and you can prove that you can prove it with any of them, but the one that everybody knows about is the 2000 election in Florida. People will just kind of not hear that. I mean, you can pound it in their head over and over and over, and they'll start to fight against you. They'll say, shut up. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. Why? Not because it's not true or because they've got counter evidence to show that you're not giving them the facts or something. No, none of that. Just because it does not agree with the way they've been taught the world works. I think it was Joseph Stalin who said, you give me a child before the age of 7 and I can shape them to be anything I want them to be. And that's what we're talking about here. The humans do not work by their eyes. They work by believing whatever they want to believe. What they want to believe is what they've been told is the way the world is, as they have been throughout their lives. So, I mean, here I'm looking at this article here on Infowars.com, written by Paul Craig Roberts, June 16, 2009. Are you ready for war with a demonized Iran? Is the title. Now, of course, Paul Craig Roberts is the father of Reaganomics, and during the Reagan administration. Now, here's what he said. He's talking about this Iranian election that everybody's so concerned with. Here's what he says in his first paragraph. How much attention do elections in Japan, India, Argentina, or any other country get from the U.S. media? How many Americans and American journalists even know who is the political office of other countries besides England, France, and Germany? Who can name the political leaders of Switzerland, Holland, Brazil, Japan, or even China? You see what we're getting at here? He's talking about that the U.S. media only talks about war with, or sorry, the election in Iran, as if they're bringing everybody's attention right to it. Now, everybody's been preconditioned since birth to understand that all their real information only comes from the mainstream media. Okay, so the mainstream media can lie every single day, and it won't matter. The people will still go there to get the information. An example of that is the Iraq War. We were told by all the mainstream media, NPR, Fox News, whatever, from 1991 to 2003, that the little desert nation of Iraq was a threat to us, and that was all a lie. All the news media got together and said that. Now we all know that the news media and this incredible coordinated lie that was done to us. But do you see any Americans caring? Does anybody even remember? No, and no. I mean, we should all be thinking to ourselves, wow, the mainstream media lied to us that efficiently. I'm not going to listen to them anymore. That was a pretty amazing lie. I mean, what else are they lying about? No, nobody's doing that. Everybody, if they want to learn about the world they live in, they go to the mainstream media. The mainstream media is controlled by the big wealthy military people of the world. So they've got control of people's consciousnesses through that. It's amazing. Unbelievable. I mean, you can point that out to someone. You can show them that all the people that own the big media are all the same people that are the big weapons makers, like GE, for example, makes nuclear bombs and stuff. They own all the NBC channels, like MSNBC and so forth. I mean, you can go through all the different channels and show that, and you can point that out to people, and people kind of just won't hear that again. They'll just, oh, gosh, that's interesting, and then they'll just go on and, you know, watch some TV or pick their nose or something. So it's, I guess part of this revelation that I want to tell you about is just I'm upset. Upset in the, what more specifically, saddened. I guess I've had in my mind for years that, you know, we can become like the Revolutionary War days. We can become a strong people in this country with all of our weapons that we have, and we can do anything. We can shape the world back for our own interests and be whatever we want to be. We can learn the secrets of who we are and reshape our universities to give us real information. We can do anything. And I think that I'm the only, I think I've been talking to the wall. That's my revelation. I mean, nobody's listening. Nobody cares. I mean, you say things to people and they don't want to hear it. They just want to hear the lies they get. You know, they want to hear that, you know, that they're going to get their swine flu vaccine or something. And I think it's upset me this week quite a bit. There's just, I just wonder really what there is to do. I mean, everybody, the mass of this people, this nation is going along with the unbelievable social transformations that are happening. I mean, the whole government is being transformed and Congress is being, pretty much their power is being eliminated. Of course, probably half of you listening don't even know what I'm talking about right now because it's not on TV, so you don't know what's going on here. We've got, you know, the whole Constitution is being, it doesn't really exist anymore. People talk about it, and even retarded Glenn Beck talks about it. But, I mean, that doesn't really matter because talk is cheap and nobody's following it. The government sure certainly isn't. And even idiotic Glenn Beck, on his show, he preaches the virtues of the big government and Homeland Security and, you know, all this wiretapping and Constitution violations and so forth. So he's basically just a liberal. But anyways, I guess nobody's concerned. I mean, we just want more hot dogs. I mean, I'm worried. I mean, I see the rest of the world. I mean, go on YouTube and watch a movie called The Fourth World War. That's basically just about the rest of the world and what's going on in the rest of the world, Africa and Argentina and everywhere. I mean, the rest of the world doesn't look too good. I mean, do we know how special we have it here in America? I mean, you can walk down the street and it's with your kids in many places and you don't have to worry about anything and you can own guns and say anything you want and you can listen to BBS radio, which is, you know, a dissenting voice and it's a voice of hope, all these radio shows on this station. I mean, you can do all these kinds of things. And, I mean, how many of you realize you can't do that in very many places? Most of the world looks like Dachau or Auschwitz in some form or another. I mean, most people are dirt poor, have nothing, don't even have shoes, work you know, 15 hours a day, can't even spend time with their children, are completely malnourished, half dead. I mean, that's the whole continent of Africa. I mean, half of South America, Asia, all over China, Asia. I mean, this Mexico, it's everywhere. And who's, does anybody even know this? In America, nobody even knows this. I don't think. It seems like they don't. It seems like we think that we're just like little children who have good parents who are going to just take care of us. And these parents, you know, the parents being like the government in this example. And I mean, I don't see it that way. I see, we're just in trouble. You know, and I mean, I just don't understand why nobody else sees this. I mean, you can't eliminate the special thing that we have in America. I mean, we're free to some degree here. I mean, I don't think anybody know what it's like to live with a, you know, petty, a little pathetic dictatorship with crazy troops pointing guns at you and you living in a hut. I mean, you know how close we are to coming to that in this nation? This nation's economy is falling apart. You think somebody's going to come around and hand you bottled water and give you checks of money? When it does, no, you're on your own. Okay? So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean, I know I've prepared, you know, so, I mean, so maybe I'll be in relatively good shape, but I don't really want that. I don't want to have a world of mass suffering. I want people to be strong. I want people to be powerful. What good does it do me if, you know, if I'm huddled up in my little, you know, house or whatever, and I've got, you know, I've got firearms and food and books and stuff and notepaper to write on and all these pleasures. What good does it do me if I have that, but nobody else does around me, and everybody else is just panicked and destitute? Well, it doesn't feel good to, I mean, I want people around me to feel good. I want people around me to feel powerful. I want their radiance and to infect me and mine to infect them and us to be religious creatures together and teach each other and create an incredible world. I mean, so, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I guess that, I just don't know what else to say. It's amazing. I mean, every day I learn more about how the world works in this revelation. I've got all these pages of notes. I'm sitting here looking in front of me on a computer screen. I'm on point one. I mean, I can't even get through all these points here. Because this is just an amazing situation here. I never understood in my life of how people were such sheep. But it goes down to that principle we were talking about, that people will be taught a certain way that the world works, and if they see everybody else believing that, you can try as hard as you can to show them the real world with their eyes, but they won't believe it. They'll believe what they think, not what their eyes report. So if you tell them the government's good and their public schools, all that, you know, as they're growing up, they're all going to believe it. You can put on the news every single day how the government's stealing money from us and giving it to the banks and basically destroying the economy and causing all these wars and just do all this stuff. And people will still say, oh, we need the government. You know, I mean, even though we had, from all the way from the founding of this nation up till the 1920s, we had such a small government, it definitely didn't get in your affairs, that's for sure. And we, look how good we did. Look how strong the nation became, you know, with a tiny government, a libertarian political system. Now what do we have? We've got, it's taken over everything. It's taken over industry. It's taken over healthcare. It's taken over, I mean, it's becoming your life, everything. This band of murderers and liars and thieves. What do I mean by murderers? Well, go look at the Iraq War and, you know, it's just one example. You think that's not murder? What do you mean by liars? Well, they lie their way into that, and the banker, all these bailouts are just theft. I mean, come on, wake up. If you don't understand what I'm saying, either turn this station off, turn this show off, and go listen to something else that'll make you feel bubbly and happy, or else wake up, slap yourself in the face, and realize what's going on. I mean, how many times do you want to be lied to over and over? I mean, what a fool you were if you sat there and believed for 14 years that this stupid little nation, well, it's not stupid, Iraq actually was quite wonderful, but this little nation didn't even have a military, was a threat to you. And it was all a big lie. And they even told you that on the news that it was a big lie. I mean, come on, don't you feel stupid? Well, yeah, we were stupid to believe that garbage. Now we're doing the same thing again with Iraq. Same ploy. Oh, they've got weapons of mass destruction. You can't see those, but they're aimed right at you. Be scared. Got to worry about that. It's exactly the same thing, and I see people going right along with it. There's the realization right there. I mean, we just got done doing this in Iraq and Afghanistan, being told that these nations, which have nothing to do with anything, with our lives, of course they have oil and there's some interesting historical aspects to these nations that the controllers might have interest in them for, but these nations have nothing to do with anything, and then we're told, they're threats, we need to invade them, and then people march their kids off into this. I mean, it's the same thing going on in Iran right now. Didn't we just do this 4 years ago, and now nobody remembers? I mean, when I say we're not even, I don't even think we're humans, that's what I mean. How can we forget? I mean, is there something in the water? Well, we know that there are things in the water. But, I mean, are our minds ruined from all these shots and bad food and TV? Or what is it with us? Is it this magnetism that we were talking about earlier? Is it we in this low phase or something where we're just complete idiots? Is this something? Because I know humans aren't this stupid. I know humans aren't this suicidal, this masochistic, this helpless. I know humans are, for what they really are powerful religious creatures that nobody messes with. But so that's why I say we're not acting like humans now. We're acting like I don't know what. I don't think anybody listening probably knows what I'm talking about right now. I mean, I'm going to start grunting, and then people, oh yeah, I know what he means now. Because why do I say that? Because when you watch TV, it's what it sounds like. I mean, about a 40-word vocabulary is all you need to watch TV to understand everything. So it's just too bad that this is how I just think. I guess I want to have the hope of Alex Jones. I want to have the hope of Thomas Jefferson. I want to have the conviction that we're going to, take the country back to be controlled by the people again. But we're pretty far from that now, and the days we're getting really in a bind here. I mean, the whole economy is falling apart. And what do Americans think? They think the whole economy is getting better. There you go, right there. They don't even know up from down. So I don't think that, this is the Revolutionary War militia who's going to pick up their arms and defend their way of life. I think if you go out and say that to people, they'll think you're not, somebody that's like Thomas Jefferson, a hero, a powerful person with this infinite courage. They won't think that. They'll think you're weird. Oh, that you're just, what are you, you're crazy? I mean, how can we say we're crazy? I mean, we got this government that's, I don't even know what to say. Just open your eyes to what's going on. So anyways, that's my revelation. I think humans in America just want their drugs. Their drugs are called TV and their pathetic ways of life and malls and their junk food. And they, I think they want to be lied to. I mean, because they want to believe this fake way that reality is that they've been told through their schools. I mean, why weren't we taught more about the Revolutionary War in high school? I mean, what do we talk about, the Nazi Holocaust? It's not even our own country, where that was going on. We talk about that. What did I talk about in my high school history class? World history class, that year-long class. We talk about African slavery. That was a good couple months. And, of course, it wasn't African slavery. It was the corporate leaders of America enslaving many different races of people. And it's just been now told to be, and you, go tell a black person that, they get real mad because they want to use that. They that's their power. We're all supposed to feel real guilty for something that a bunch of corporate corrupt murderers were responsible for. You just have to reopen up some history books and you find out that, well, people of the world weren't even for it, just like now. Anyway, we went over that all last week, so you can listen to that show then. So, I think that people of America don't know anything that's going on at all right now. They don't know what religion is. They don't know what history is. They believe what they are told on television and in school. They have no idea that these are all coordinated lies, that if the TV says X is true and your church says X is true and your public school says X is true, if you're not showing evidence for it, doesn't mean X is true. I mean, how many times have we seen lies like that? You know, the Iraq war is the best one. I mean, the church has told us Iraq was a threat, the school told us Iraq was a threat, and the TV told us Iraq was a threat for 14 years. Was it true? No, it was all a lie. X was not true. So, I mean, most people can't imagine that that's going on, those mass lies are going on in all different forms, all over the place, with everything. Science, religion, technology, current events, you name it. And unfortunately, though, people can't put that together. They think that, I mean, if you just say something to people like the following, if you say, humans are clueless, what's going on, people find that offensive. Oh, we're not clueless. Well, who's sitting around reading books every day all day? Almost nobody. So there. So how are we supposed to know so much? Okay, so yeah, people are clueless. Okay, and this Iraq war example I brought up several times tonight on this radio show proves that. Okay, we don't know anything of what's going on, and we'll believe anything we're told. Oh, you doubt that? Well, then why don't you explain to me how this Iraq war thing happened? No evidence, nothing was ever presented that Iraq was a threat, and we sat there and believed it for 14 years and marched off all of our kids into this stupid war. Okay, now it's an occupation. And nobody even thinks about it anymore. Now everybody's thinking about the next war, Iran. Still have, what, 200,000 troops over in Iraq, Afghanistan, and I guess they'll just be forgotten, I guess, or something. So yeah, humans are clueless, pathetic. Americans know nothing. They're ridiculous, is what they are. A bunch of slobs, a bunch of lazy, inhuman beasts. And I've got all the evidence in the world to back that up. Because, you know why? Because humans don't act like that. They don't sit there and believe all this garbage and march off into this pathetic barbaric warfare. Now that's what barbarian, mongrel, to describe the Visigoths, the barbarians who invaded Rome. So that's what we are. Yeah, we don't know. We know what do we know? We know what's on TV. That's it. So if you want, and then what do the churches do? They talk about what's ever on TV. That's what the people at church will be sitting there talking about. If they're at church tonight, oh, they ran an election. Oh no. You know, what about our elections? How about this? How about our politicians? How about these ridiculous Democrats who were elected into Congress in 2006? And they said, "You vote us in, we'll end the war." Does any of you even remember? They ran on that campaign slogan for a year. What's the first thing they did when they got in office? They approved George Bush's request to increase the troops. It doesn't get any clearer than that, right there. But of course, none of you even remember that happened, probably. All we can remember is that, or that there's a Congress or something. We're in this haze how did Orwell put it? A mist that just vanishes into nothing. That's our memory. You know, so I mean, and then we don't want to talk about our Democratic president. We're not even going to go there right now. So it's just, I'd like to apologize for that. We're not talking about our usual topics tonight. It's just, I had this revelation. This is my radio show, and this is what I want to talk about. If you didn't like it, I hope that you turned off the station or something, or that you didn't listen. If you did like it, fine. Great. This isn't a message of optimism. This isn't a message of hope. This is a message of disgust, of amazement that this is what we are in America. I mean, there's so much going on. You got the government shutting down car dealerships. Not because they're not doing well, just because. And then the government demands you turn over the customer list to the government. That's called a takeover. And do any Americans, they probably don't even know. This is serious. This is very, very serious. Look at history. How did we describe history in last week's show? This is something to be very concerned with. Everybody should just drop everything and do nothing tomorrow but grab your firearms and think about our future. Take back the country. And, that's a Jeffersonian. That's what our founding fathers tell us. Go read them. Okay? Turn off the stupid TV and go read them. So I couldn't help. This is what we have to talk about. I mean, we could talk about the beautiful philosophical issues next week or some other time. But things are really getting serious. And I guess my realization I had was just, I don't think we're going to come out of it. I think that the New World Order, the secret government that controls the world, it's almost like they can just do whatever they want. Because while most of the world is enslaved and unarmed and helpless, and for us Americans who are armed, what are we doing? We're drinking Budweiser tonight and watching some stupid TV shows. I mean, think of our ancestors out in the fields and, creating all these religions to identify the divine light of ultimate reality. Inventing things like guns and automobiles and so forth. I mean, compare us to that. We're just throwing everything away in so many ways that I don't even have time to discuss in this show. So it's too bad. And I guess I'm just sad about it. I mean, I'm alone in that sadness because nobody even knows what I'm talking about. I mean, I know Alex Jones talks about this every day, too, and he's got a million listeners, but I've never met any of them. And they probably feel as isolated and helpless as I do. So a message to the New World Order, you've done a great job. You can do anything you want. You have for thousands of years. There's no resistance. There's just no effort in how easy your project has been. So thank you very much for listening, everybody, tonight to the Antimatter Radio Show. Tomorrow we'll get back onto our regular topics discussing the religiosity of antimatter. That's the real game right there. That's where the real power is. So thanks very much.